Well, our reading this evening is in the book of 1 John, 1 John, chapter 1. Thank you for coming, and God bless you this evening. Nice to see you, and may the Lord really help you to understand His Word this evening. 1 John, chapter 1, please, and verse number 5. We'll read to the end of the chapter, and we have a text that we want to point you to tonight. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5, and it says there, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Now our verse is verse number 7, the second half of verse 7. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And amen. May God bless his word this evening. I suppose it was only just a few years ago that the Australian film director and actor Mel Gibson decided that he would portray the crucifixion of Christ in all its gory details. I find it interesting that in the Bible in many ways shields us from the full horror of what crucifixion is like. But Mel Gibson decided that what he would do is he would portray crucifixion exactly as it was in his film, The Passion of the Christ. Oh, they didn't want to hear about his film, but the public went out in masses to see this film, to see what it was like when the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross to die for the sin of the world. There was one thing that Mel Gibson in his film portrayed that others have missed out so often in their portrayals of Christ. Mel Gibson didn't miss out the blood. And our verse tonight and what we're going to talk about is the subject of the blood of Christ. Oh, and see, as I've spoken to people before, I've heard them talking about the love of Christ. And people are willing to debate whether God loves them or not. I've heard people talk about the miracles of Christ and whether they happened or whether they didn't. I've heard even people talking about the creation of God and whether God did it or whether God didn't do it. But I haven't heard people talk about this most vital of subjects, the blood of Christ. And sadly, millions of people in our world today are missing this most vital of all subjects, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And tonight I want to be very simple and very plain as we want to look at the very blood of Christ. It's interesting if you were to go to a jeweller with me. Let's go together to 8 Samuel here in the St. John's Centre in Perth. Maybe you know it right there in the main bit of St. John's Centre in Perth. And a nice little jeweller shop. And you can go in there and you can buy a necklace. Or you could buy yourself a watch. Or perhaps you would buy yourself a crucifix. And as you look at that lovely golden crucifix, there's one thing that's missing off that lovely golden crucifix. There's no blood on that crucifix. You think of a children's storybook and look through it to the cross of Christ, there's barely a drop of blood on the Lord Jesus Christ. You even look at the hands of the Lord Jesus in some of these books, and there's barely a drop of blood. But the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to get right to the very heart of the matter tonight, that his blood is what we need to clean us from our sins, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, I want just to think for one moment, please, about the man who's writing it. Here's a man, he's an old man. He has started off life as a young man, obviously. And he'd watched the Lord Jesus. And he'd left his fishing nets. He'd left his father. And he had followed Christ. Oh, what a joyful day it would have been for John, the day that he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't going to be an easy journey for John. As he followed the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't follow him for wealth. He didn't follow him for fame. He didn't follow him for riches. He followed the Lord Jesus because he loved him. And he followed that blessed man as he followed the Lord Jesus. It took the Lord Jesus to the very place which we love to call Calvary. And there at that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. And who was standing there, watching the blessed Saviour die? But the man who the Bible called, the disciple who leaned on Jesus' breast, this man John, that's writing these things, he was an eyewitness of the very day that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. And there, towards the end of his life now, as he looks back upon the scenes that he saw as a younger man, he concludes this: the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. He gets right to the heart of the matter and says, this is the most important matter in this universe, Jesus and his precious blood. And we just do trust tonight that you'll be like John and you'll come to lean and trust upon the blood of Christ. I want to think first of all about the blood. And that's what we're going to do, just going to break this verse down into its constituent parts. I want to think about the blood. Blood. Such an important thing. It was only a couple of years ago that Audrey was in hospital. And when Audrey was in hospital, one of the things that they did was they gave her blood. Why did they give her blood? They gave her blood because they needed it. She needed it because she was weak and poorly and she needed blood. And when they gave Audrey blood, that blood was able to help and strengthen Audrey. What a great day they gave her blood. It's a vital subject, blood. I was laughing just the other day because I was thinking about evolutionists. And I was thinking about evolutionists and they would wonder where blood would come from. So I went onto the internet and I typed in, where did blood evolve from? Now don't get me wrong, I believe in creation and God made all things. But I wondered what an evolutionist would believe if he believed where blood came from. Where did blood come from and how did it evolve was the question. And the answer was this. Where did blood come from? And the answer was, it comes from the veins. And I thought that was ridiculous. That was the best answer that a scientist could come. But where did blood come from? It comes from the veins. Let me just give you a little problem tonight that you want to think about if you have a scientific mind. You think of a single cell organism. Does it have any blood in it? None at all. Not a drop of blood. And yet somehow we are meant to have evolved from a single cell organism. And fundamental problem number one for the atheist and for the man who believes in evolution, how did a single cell organism with no blood evolve into a fully grown man that has in his body a gallon of blood? 8 pints of blood in the body. And how could it be that an organism with no blood evolves into something that has blood? I want to just say to you tonight, the evolutionist has a big problem because they're missing out the blood. God made us in his image. God made us so that we would be alive. And tonight I want to just tell you that he made our blood as well. Now let's just turn for a moment, please, to the book of Genesis. I wanted to go right to the very beginning, to chapter 2. I want to give you 4 references to blood in Genesis, just as we want to set the scene of the importance of the blood. Verse number 2, chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The first reference to blood in our Bible. You say, well, there's no blood there. Well, it is. Let's just listen to what the very verse says. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. That's the red earth. No blood and dust, is there? And then he says there, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There's no blood and oxygen, is there? And then it says, and man became a living soul. And what is happening? God who made man from the dust, God that breathed into his man the breath of life, is now making blood flow through that body of that man, Adam. That Adam is no longer just red earth. He has lovely red blood flowing through his body. The importance of the blood. Without blood, a man cannot live. Without blood, you cannot live, you will die. If you have blood and it gets poisoned, you might die. If you abuse your blood, you will die. If you take substances and put it in your blood, you can die. Blood, that vital thing. And God gave us that blood. Notice secondly in chapter 3, please. chapter 3, verse number 15. The second reference to blood in our scriptures, and yet again the word blood is not used. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, what is the situation here? Let me just explain it. The devil caused man to fall. Man has sinned against God in his rebellion. And here is the conclusion of the matter. The very identification of the battle of the ages. And there will be a battle. And the devil, the evil one, the serpent, will bruise man's heel. And then God's Son will crush his head. Now, an important word is the word bruise. What is happening when bruising happens? Well, you and I know that when you crush muscle and blood together, blood flows into the muscle and a bruise happens. And here is a second reference to blood in our scriptures. And as blood is being crushed, the blood is being crushed into the muscle and there's a bruising. And this identifies a problem for man that they're going to be bruised by Satan. And that the Lord Jesus Christ will come forth and he's going to crush the very head of Satan. You see, when did this happen? It happened surely in a place called Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ was put up between heaven and earth and his hands were pierced and the crown of thorns was upon his brow and the blood flowed from him. Oh yes! Satan was crushing the heel of Christ and yet our Lord Jesus Christ as he died upon that cross won that greatest of all victories. When the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And there upon the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, he died for sinners. And he died for me. And the battle of the ages was won that day by our lovely Saviour. When our Lord Jesus Christ crushed the very head of Satan. Oh, we're on the victory side of the Lord because we know the victory is our Lord. The blood, the importance of the blood. Let's turn now to chapter 4, please, and verse number 10. So to chapter 3, verse 21, just for a very passing reference. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Here's man and woman in their shame because of their sin. They've rebelled against God. God has walked to them in the cool of the garden and they're hiding from God because they're ashamed in their nakedness. And God comes and covers them in skin. Let me just be very careful in how I describe this. An animal was taken, its blood was shed, the skin was taken off the animal, and God gave them animal skins to wear, something to clothe them in their shame. What happened? Blood had been shed for man. Right there in page number 3 of our Bible, blood was being shed for man to cover them in their shame. I'll tell you, friends, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansed us from all sin. It's the greatest of all coverings because his blood cleans a sinner in their sins, from their sins. Praise God for that wonderful subject of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was blood there in the first 3 pages of our Bible. I wanted to give you one final reference in Genesis. And I think it's tragic. This is the first time that blood is mentioned directly. And it's so sad. In the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse number 10, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Man in the perfect garden. Man in God's lovely environment. Man given everything from God. And how does it come out as soon as sin comes into the world? Death came by sin. And Cain killed his brother Abel. The blood of Abel was crying unto him from the ground. How tragic. Sin had spiraled almost out of control right from the very beginning. As sin was causing murder and evil in this world. People would say, where does unhappiness come from today? Is it from poverty? Is it from lack of education? Is it from lack of opportunity? Is it from lack of democracy? Is it from a lack of say? What is it from? No. Misery comes from sin. And here is sin in all its fullness and it's bringing forth death. How sad that sin in all its misery and all its fullness is bringing forth death to us. And you know what it's all about? It's all about blood. It's all about blood. Sin brings forth
blood. Because of the sin of man, blood was spilt. And sin is redeemed by blood. And our Lord Jesus Christ would go to the cross to cleanse us by his precious blood. And blood is absolutely critical in all these things. I want to just mention to you very briefly about something that happened in 1893. In 1893, in the great city of Chicago, there was a parliament of religions. Nearly every religion was invited, and nearly every religion turned up for this great parliament of religions. Now let me just say, this is not something just of the past. I just read just yesterday that this parliament of religions still happens. It happened in South Africa just the other year there. So in 1893, they gathered in this great parliament of religions, and they were all talking about different religious matters and trying to help the world with their religious views. And a Christian doctor stood up to speak one day at this parliament of religions. And he introduced a woman who was a murderer. And he introduced a woman who wanted her sins forgiven, who wanted to be cleansed, who wanted the guilt of her murder to be taken away from her. And he stood up before the audience of the Parliament of Religions and he says to the religious people, who has a remedy for this woman's guilt and sin? There was hush in the whole Parliament. You would think somebody would have an answer. Not a soul had an answer. Hush in the whole audience. But the doctor stands up and says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We preach it because it's true. We preach it because there's hope. We preach it because his blood does clean souls from sin. And before you tonight is a sinner who's received that cleansing. And you too can have that cleansing from your sin by believing in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He loved you and gave himself for you. One more story before we move on. There's that great story told of the soldiers in the trenches in the First World War. And there in the trenches, the grenade comes over. In the trenches, the noise was so great that it was impossible to shout to your colleagues to get out of the way. And this man saw the grenade had landed, and his friend was in an absolute danger, a mortal danger, and he threw himself on that grenade, and he died instead of his friend. The son, the man who had lived, went to visit the mother whose son had been killed by the grenade. He comes into the house and he asks the most unusual of questions. He says, did your son ever say that he loved me? Strange question for the two soldiers to ask. And the woman replies as she says, of course he loved you. He died for you. And so we can never need to question the very love of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to die for us, and he shed his precious blood to save us. The importance of the blood. And blood is absolutely vital for man's redemption. If we had more time, we'd turn to the book of Leviticus and see the offerings and the sacrifices there and see the blood that had to be shed for the atonement of a man. Oh, how precious is that blood. And God sent forth his Son to shed forth his blood to set us free from our sins. But the Bible verse says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I just rejoice that the scripture says the blood of Jesus Christ and not the blood of Adrian Ferguson. You know why I rejoice in that? If it said the blood of Adrian Ferguson cleanses us from all sins, millions of people would be in hell tonight because I couldn't do anything about their sin. I'll tell you, friend, I can't redeem a soul from their sin. I can't save a soul. I can point them to the Lord, but I can't save a soul. And I just praise God it says the blood of Jesus Christ. And I just say, praise God that his precious blood was shed for me. I want to think about the Lord Jesus for a moment. The one who they blaspheme in the playgrounds. The one who they make the butt of jokes. The one who they make the butt of their movies is the precious Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. I want to just take that verse for a moment.
and look at the life of the Lord Jesus and say, he is so different than everyone else. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. You think about Christ. He was incorruptible. It has two meanings. You think about Christ, he couldn't be swayed by man's opinion. There was no one who could come to Christ and offer him a bribe that he would change his mind. He was incorruptible. The incorruptible Christ. I think about him. Absolute perfect. The man who never played to the audience. The man who never said what people wanted to hear. The incorruptible Christ. What a precious one. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. He was incorruptible. You think about the Lord Jesus in the other sense of the word corruptible. He didn't decay. Our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't dying like men die because of decay and old age and weakness and infirmity. Our Lord Jesus Christ died because he chose to die and shed his precious blood that man and woman might be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was precious in all his ways. The one who could speak the right words. The one who could please his Father. The one who walked the perfect path. The one who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The one who did the miracles. The one who spoke the parables. The one who taught the scriptures. The one who showed out the love of the Father. The perfect, precious Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who shed his precious blood. The Lord Jesus is so unique that 2,000 years since he visited this earth, he's still the most talked about person in this world. He's still the one who transforms lives. He's still the one who saves souls. He's still the one who gives peace. The precious blood of Christ. The uniqueness of the blood of Christ. It wasn't the blood of an angel. No angel came. It wasn't the blood of a servant. No servant could shed that precious blood. It was the blood of the unique and perfect man, the man Christ Jesus. The one who did no sin. The one who was perfect shed his precious blood. The one who was without spot and blemish. The Jewish mind would understand what was under view here. They knew all about the perfect lamb. Every year they would take a lamb and examine the lamb. They would examine it from the 10th day to the 14th day, make sure there was no blemish in the lamb. On that 14th day, they would take that lamb, and they would kill the lamb. And they would take the blood of the lamb, and they would put it on the doorpost, and they would put it on the lintel of the door, and they would be sheltering in the blood of the lamb, and the angel of death would pass over on that Passover night. And if you weren't covered by the blood, you would die, because you needed the blood to cover you. Oh, the Jewish mind would understand what Peter was meaning when he said the precious blood of Christ. And how today it's still the same. We don't shelter under the blood of an animal. We shelter under the blood of a person. The person, God's own precious Son, who died upon the cross to cleanse us from every sin. And let me be personal tonight and ask you, are you sheltering under that blood? Today in Sunday school, I came home and ran the children home. We spoke about that old hymn that we sing in Perth. Are you a real Christian? Have you been born again? And the little child says, I've not been born again. Describing himself, I've not been born again. How sad that even a little child could understand that they needed more than just saying words. They needed to be born from above. And I wonder yet if you've been born again. Has Christ become your Saviour? Is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ what you're sheltering in and what you're being cleansed from your sins by? The Lord Jesus Christ, he shed his precious blood to save a soul like you and me. The uniqueness of the blood of Jesus Christ. But thirdly, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. The cost of the blood. Our God chose to redeem this world. God loves this world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. He chose to redeem this world, and the only means of redemption or salvation for this world was going to be the blood of his Son. There was no angel who could do it. They had fallen. They had a fallen nature. They could have done it.
There was no man to do it. Man was corrupt in their sin. Man needed the blood themselves to be saved. And God sent forth His Son, because His Son. They talk about wartime, that people pay the ultimate price. That the son, or the daughter now, gave the life of the salvation or the deliverance of the country. They paid the ultimate price for the country. I think it's sad that even when we look back at the First World War, some people now are saying, these people wasted their time giving their life for the country. And they think it was a waste of time. But I'll tell you this, when God's own precious Son shed His blood, it was no waste of time. His blood was shed, and it was the greatest cost, the greatest price that could ever have been paid when God sent forth His Son. He didn't ask you to save someone. He asked His Son. And in the words of the prophet Isaiah, it says, "Here am I, send me, and the willing Son left the Father's throne to die for us." You say, "Does God love me?" Yes, God loves you. First John chapter 1 tells you all about God's love. And I tell you this, He loves you enough that His Son shed His precious blood for you. The uniqueness of the blood, the importance of blood, the cost of the blood. Let me just take you to the cross for a moment, please. John was observing it, the man who wrote this. And there upon the cross, our Lord Jesus said these words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And that just ties beautifully with our verse. The forsaken Son was the one who God sent forth to be the Saviour of this world. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleansed us from all sin. And God's own precious Son gave His life for me. He says the Scriptures, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He didn't have any others. He only had the one, the only begotten Son, "that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And the offer of hope and peace and joy for you today is very clear. It's in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, time is flying past. I want to think about our last clause in our verse. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The impact of the blood. In our house we have a very well known bleach. I better not say the brand name. Advertising is not permitted in a meeting like this. So we've got this very well known type of bleach. It says in the bottle it kills 99% of known germs dead. What about that 1%? What about that 1% of that germ? You know, that little 1% could be the very thing that's going to get you. And that 1%, it cannot kill that 1%. The impact of that bleach is it actually fails in its duty. Now, I noticed that I had some bathroom wipes, and I just looked at them as well. I don't spend my time looking at bleaches and bathroom wipes, but I looked at this bathroom wipe just the other day, and I thought of the impact of the bathroom wipes, and they were a little bit more conservative than the rest of it. It kills 90% of germs, the 10% of germs they escape that bacterial wipe. But the verse is much more solemn. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from, listen to it again, all sin. I say to you, friend, a murderer tonight can be cleansed from the sin by the blood of Christ. The man who's in the gutter can be cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. The woman who has secret sins that no one in this room knows about can be cleansed by the blood of Christ. The child can be cleansed by the blood of Christ. And all sin, no matter what your sin is, can be forgiven. No wonder we have the greatest of hope in our Bible tonight, that men and women perishing in the land of Scotland, beautiful Scotland, can be saved by the precious blood of Christ. A 100% guaranteed remedy. Now let me just think very simply of this illustration about the bleach. There's the germ on the work surface, and the bleach in the tub. How are you going to kill the germ? You need to apply the bleach. And so it is with the blood. You can know the facts. You can know the theory. But friend, do you know the practice? That he, when the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, listen to what it says in the verse. His blood cleanses us. There's a personal element in the verse. He cleanses us from all sin. Did he cleanse every person in Scotland? No. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has the impact for every soul in Scotland to be cleansed. But not every soul has taken the personal application of the blood and taken the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Saviour, to cry upon him that their sins might be forgiven, to repent and have faith in him. And sadly, there are millions in Scotland who will gladly debate everything and miss this very vital subject of the blood of Christ. Friends, people sit at home and watch television all night and they miss the blood of Christ. People read books, there's libraries galore in Scotland, and they miss the blood of Christ. People go to religious buildings and they hear something from the Bible or some holy book, and they miss the subject of the blood of Christ. This is the only remedy for sin that God offers a person. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And tonight, every person in heaven is there because of this one subject, the blood of Christ. I say to you, dear friend, tonight, the only means of God's salvation is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died that you might live, who shed his precious blood to cleanse you. And tonight he wants us to call upon him and to trust in him and to know that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. May God bless you tonight. May you trust in the blood and be sheltered in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Let's pray. Father, we come to thee tonight. Frankly, there is no grander, greater subject than the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for a dear soul tonight to trust in thee. Help us, Father, to pray earnestly and expectantly that I would save a dear soul. Father, we thank you thou art able. We thank you thou art willing. We think of the very verse of Scripture that speaks far louder than we can ever speak about. And we pray that our soul would trust in thee and be eternally saved. We thank you that everyone in heaven is there because of the blood of Christ. Father, we thank you now and pray thou would bless and part us with thy help as we ask it in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now there is a hymn in our hymn book. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it is number 99. I think we could sing this one just quietly now as we just contemplate the subject. Number 99, what can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We'll sing the first verse and verse number 4 of this one. I don't know how the chorus works, so we'll just sing first verse and verse 4 of number 99.